Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends, on this Tuesday. Unless you happen to live in one of only a few countries in the world, especially those with long family monarchies or dictatorships, you are familiar with frequent changes of government leadership and often the tumultuous times those government changes bring, right? In our journey through God's grand narrative, the next section of the Bible in the Kings and the Chronicles gives us the story of the tumultuous years following the traumatic breakup of the nation of Israel into two kingdoms: Israel, the northern kingdom of 10 tribes, and Judah, the southern kingdom of 2 tribes. If you are a person who enjoys the history of nations, or if you like looking at an event from different perspectives, you will very much enjoy the journey ahead. 2 Chronicles chapter 11 and 12 give us more detail of the interesting 17-year reign of King Rehoboam, the son of King Solomon. It was in the very early days of King Rehoboam that the 10 tribes of Israel separated themselves and selected Jeroboam, formerly one of Solomon's trusted officials, to be their new king. You'll recall we saw in the days of Joshua that the Levites were living scattered all across Israel by God's design, so the people of Israel had spiritual leaders easily accessible in all their towns, according to Joshua chapter 21. However, quickly after Israel split into two kingdoms, Jeroboam's wicked, idol-worshipping leadership created antagonism in Israel against the God-worshipping Levites. So many of them fled their homes and moved to live in or near Jerusalem. Pause. Look around the world. How many places are Christians facing persecution, church burnings, pastors or priests arrested, tortured, even killed? That was the fearful atmosphere in Israel, if you can believe it, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 11. King Rehoboam did a very wise thing, naming his son Prince Abijah to be his eventual successor to the throne in Jerusalem, and sending his other prince's sons to be his representative in cities all around Judah, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 11. Sadly, it appears Rehoboam focused more on building his government infrastructure and influence than on shepherding the people to be God-honoring people. And only 5 years after King Solomon's death, King Rehoboam and the people of Jerusalem faced an unexpected attack from Shishak, the mighty king of Egypt. The record of this attack reminds me of how Russia amassed a huge army against little Ukraine only a few years ago. The record says, with 1,200 chariots and 60,000 horsemen and innumerable foot soldiers, King Shishak captured the fortified cities of Judah and came as far as Jerusalem, 2 Chronicles chapter 12. While God protected Jerusalem this time from destruction by such a huge army, Egyptian Shishak did carry off a great deal of the valuables King Solomon had amassed during his 40 years of extravagant reign, including valuables from the temple of God, 2 Chronicles 12. King Rehoboam and all of Jerusalem were learning an important hard lesson. Prioritizing government growth and power over spiritual and moral development of the people will result in calamity. Crown Prince Abijah was watching closely and learning from the leadership mistakes of his father, King Rehoboam. When Abijah followed his father as king of Judah, even though he reigned only 3 years, he and the people of Judah experienced God's great rescue and protection from a similar enemy attack because they relied on the God of Israel. 2 Chronicles chapters 12 and 13 give us that remarkable victory story which shaped the next several decades of peace, prosperity, and blessing in Jerusalem under Abijah's son, King Asa's leadership. Because the nation of Israel became two kingdoms after the death of King Solomon in 930 BC, as we follow God's grand narrative, it will become a bit more challenging, for it's important to read simultaneously the parallel accounts found in the Kings and the Chronicles. Keep in mind, my friends, we are traveling the historical record of two separate kingdoms, Israel, the northern kingdom, 10 tribes, and Judah, the southern kingdom, two tribes. While King Rehoboam, son of Solomon and grandson of David, reigned 17 years over the small two-tribe nation of Judah with capital city Jerusalem, King Jeroboam reigned 22 years as the first king of the 10 breakaway tribes, and they retained the name Israel for their kingdom. Now, be careful, friends, to remember the distinction between Judah and Israel, because all those people are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but now separated into two kingdoms with increasing animosity toward each other. Under Jeroboam's reign, Israel rapidly became a wicked, idol-worshipping, violent, and even vicious people. Unlike the nation of Judah, whose kingship followed from father to son, trying to preserve the family lineage of King David, the kingship of Israel often changed hands violently. While Jeroboam's son Nadab followed his father as leader of Israel, he reigned only 2 years, and he was murdered by an Israelite from the tribe of Issachar named Baasha, according to 1 Kings 14 and 15. As often happens in power-authority tribal societies, Baasha sought to wipe out the entire family of Jeroboam and Nadab, so none of their sons would try to reclaim the throne. Baasha's reign of terror lasted 24 years, and he was succeeded by his son Elah, both of whom were evil, wicked men. King Elah was assassinated by one of his military commanders, Zimri, according to 1 Kings chapter 16. And Zimri did to Baasha and Elah's family what they had done to Jeroboam's family, with total annihilation of every male. As you read these bloody records of violent regime change, you'll see frequent reference to the fact that God was using it to inflict judgment and remove evil, wicked leaders. After a reign of only 1 week, yes, 7 days, Zimri committed suicide rather than be captured by another Israelite military faction seeking the throne. Omri was the name of the military leader supported by most of the military, so he became Israel's next king, and he reigned for 12 years. It was King Omri who began the city of Samaria, which eventually became the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, according to 1 Kings 16. Omri was an incredibly wicked military man, promoting idolatry and violence in Israel more than any leader before him. And Omri raised up his son to do the same. That son was named Ahab, who reigned over Israel from Samaria for 22 years. King Ahab is famous for marrying Jezebel. Remember that name? And together they led Israel far from God into passionate worship of the false god Baal, according to 1 Kings 16. Whew! Let's pause and catch our breath for a few seconds. King Ahab came to power in Israel in 874 BC, only 56 years after King Solomon had died. 56 years! That's only two generations. But oh my, so many terrible things had happened, both in Jerusalem and the southern kingdom of Judah, and in the breakaway, adversarial, idol-worshipping northern kingdom of Israel. While King Ahab and Queen Jezebel were very wicked and powerful, their world was about to turn upside down, because tomorrow we'll watch as they meet a very courageous prophet of God named Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 17. For today, of course, we have additional important notes below in the grand narrative link and a wonderful worship song link at the end of our study. And may I leave you with these questions to ponder. First, what have you learned as you evaluate the changes of government in your country during your lifetime? Second, how would you describe the moral and spiritual atmosphere of your nation, your city, now? And is it trending better or worse? Why? And third, what is the role of your church and the Christians in your city in leading moral and spiritual improvement? What difference are you making? I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow, my friends, and here's that worship song link.